Thanks, John. Good to be with you all. Can I say a special well done to all those rugby fans out there who are sacrificing watching the match live. There was at least one rugby fan at the 9 o'clock service this morning. And just remember, there's always an early service if you can't resist the temptation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, which nourishes, which grows us. And as we look at your word now, may we encounter the living word more deeply and grow up to be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how many of our homes over the years had not necessarily one of these posh ones, but probably more likely what our home had is just a whole load of pencil lines on the wall with names and dates on, where we were able to plot the growth of, maybe it was your one, maybe it was your growth, maybe it's somewhere there still and under six coats of paint, or maybe of our children or grandchildren. It's quite exciting, isn't it, to say to them, come on, let's measure you again and see how much you've grown since last time. And downstairs up at All Saints in the youth room, there's a growth chart on the wall. The young people, when they set up the room, the young people measured, I think they measured their physical heights and put their names on there. But what they also did was that they, I think I'm right in saying this, they actually marked on where their spiritual heights were. And I think the idea was that actually they would go back over the months and just then mark on where they got to. And just so that visibly they were able to see just how much they were growing. I thought it was a lovely idea. And I guess I want to ask that question today to all of us is, what would our spiritual growth charts over the last few years look like? How have we been doing? How have we been growing? And before you say, well, actually, I've been a Christian 40 years, so nothing much has happened. I think the great thing actually in the Christian faith is that however long we've been a Christian, however old we are, that we're still a work in progress. That we're still called to be transformed more into the likeness of Christ. Therefore, whatever stage we're at, we are all still called to grow. So I wonder what your spiritual growth chart would look like. You see, we'd all love to have the one on the left, wouldn't we? But in reality, you know, I think what's on the right is probably more realistic for all of us. That actually we have a load of twists and turns, ups and downs. Times where we're stuck and not going on, or perhaps even moving backwards. But hopefully, hopefully, somewhere in there, the trajectory is up. And today I'm not here to take us all on a guilt trip about whether we are growing or not in the faith. But as Peter did here in this letter, I want to encourage us to reflect together, to spur us on again, to focusing on those things which help keep us going and help keep us growing more like Jesus. Those things which help us grow up in the faith, as Peter talks about here. So I'd love you to turn to the passage, which is page 1218. It's only three verses this morning. We're going to flip into Matthew 13:2, but have that in front of you. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. I want to ask us the question, how can we play our part in growing? Well, if someone's to grow up physically to be healthy and strong, then actually what we need is a good diet, don't we? I don't know whether you saw a few weeks ago, there was a shocking story on the news of a teenager, I think it was, who went blind because they simply ate a diet of chips and Pringles, I think it was. I've been telling that story to my son the last few weeks, time and time again, just to try and encourage him to eat a good balanced diet. But it just shows us, doesn't it, that actually, if we don't have a good diet, then we won't grow. And Peter here, I think, is just saying, actually, this is what a good diet looks like. There are some things, actually, which you need to get rid of. Get rid of the bad diet and make the most of, grow on the stuff that's good for you. So first of all, let's have a look at actually give up the bad diets. In verse 1, he says, therefore, and where that goes to, I think it goes back to chapter 1, verse 3, where it talks about the fact that actually we have new birth into the life of Jesus. That actually when we become Christians, actually we become different people. We're born again. Therefore, actually, we are behaving in a different way. So, therefore, because you have new birth, because you've been born again, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That's quite strong words, isn't it, from Peter? To rid yourself, get free from all those things. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Get rid of them now that you are a new creation in Jesus. Now that you've been born again into a new and living hope. This isn't who you are anymore. This isn't the way you're to behave as believers of Christ. Instead, as we heard last week, you're people who are to love God and love others deeply and serve them. Not having destructive feelings, which is all of these things to other people. So he's saying get rid of them. Deal with them, because I think more than anything, because they hinder your growth. You see, when our hearts are full of these things, when our hearts are turned towards these things, then actually they're turned away from God. And actually they stunt our growth. It's a bit like the thorns, I think, in the parable of the sower that we just heard read to us, where it talks about seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the words, making it unfruitful. They choke the plants. They make it unfruitful. They stunt its growth. And I think Peter here isn't giving us an exhaustive list of these are the things which are going to stunt your growth and that you must get rid of. Actually, this is just the start of it, isn't it? But I want to ask us the question this morning, what is stunting our growth? What is choking us from growing up in God, from growing up as God's children? Maybe for us it is some of these things. Maybe actually they are some of our attitudes that actually God this morning wants to prompt us to deal with, the envy. Maybe we are being a hypocrite in the way we're living. Maybe actually we are envious, we are slandering others. But I want to suggest too, maybe there are other things in our lives which are hindering us from growing up. Maybe actually we've put other priorities in our life way above God's. Maybe that desire for getting a nice house, for material stuff, for bringing in the money, for work, even for our families, just giving all our families all the opportunities they have. And maybe all of those things can actually stunt our growth and can choke us from growing up into what God wants us to do. Maybe it's actually addictions that we have. Maybe actually we wouldn't use the word, but actually that's the reality of what they are. Maybe, as my wife might tell me, addicted to our phones, addicted to our TVs, addicted to our work. Maybe actually it's about unforgiveness or unhelpful relationships that we're having or bitterness towards others. I wonder what it is in each of us and each of our hearts which is stunting our growth at the moment. Because Peter would say, get rid of these things. He'd say, deal with them. Because that's not who you are. Because as people who have a new birth in Jesus, that's not who you are. So deal with them, get rid of them. But I was thinking, how do we deal with them? What does it mean to get rid of these things? Well, I want to suggest perhaps three things to help us deal with some of these things, to get rid of them. And the first thing is just that thing of recognizing that they are stunting our growth. Acknowledging that actually these things are getting in our way of us becoming the people that God wants us to be. Becoming the people that God's called us to be. We recognize it. We acknowledge it. And I think I would say then actually what we do is we take it to God in prayer. We just say, actually recognize it before God. We say, God, actually this is not how you've made me, that new creation in Christ, to be. And perhaps come into God in confession and say, God, actually I need you to transform my heart. Where actually I've got bitterness towards that person, which is affecting my relationship and affecting my relationship with you, because horizontal relationships where we get wrong affect vertical relationships with God. Say, God, will you change my heart so that I have love for them and see them differently? Or maybe actually recognizing before God, God, look, I am just got all my priorities not in line with yours. Coming to church just to connect with you comes at the end if I've got time to fit in with everything else. And I want to acknowledge that and confess that before you. So we come in prayer and confession to ask for God's forgiveness, to ask for God to transform our hearts. And I think the third step, that seeking to act in the opposite spirit, we have choices to make, don't we? What are our choices? If we've got bitterness against someone, actually I'm going to choose to speak positive words and to bless them. If actually we're getting our priorities wrong, actually to say, well, I'm going to choose to have a fast from my phone, or I'm going to choose to actually prioritize my quiet time with God in the morning, rather than actually perhaps doing other things which we've so become consumed with. They've choked our growth with God. What's stunting your growth? What's God prompting you about today? What's he asking you to get rid of? What's he asking you to deal with so that you can grow up as he's called you, as he's created you to be? See, it's about getting rid of the bad diets, but it's not just getting rid of the bad diet, it's actually desperately desiring the good diet, isn't it? He goes on in verse 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that God is good. You see, Peter's saying here to those that he's writing to, you see, you've tasted that God's good. You've started the journey. You're a new creation in Jesus. But now that's just the beginning. Now grow up. Crave pure spiritual milk that helps you to grow up into all that you've been called to be. And let's briefly unpack that a little. What does he mean by spiritual milk? Well, spiritual milk here, the words, without going into too much detail, the word that is used to describe the milk in the original language is logikon, which actually shares a root with the word logos, the word. So in many ways, this phrase is sometimes translated as the pure milk of the words. And the word can be two things particularly, can't it? It can be this book, it can be scripture, the word of God. The gospel, the truths of the gospel. But it can also be the word with a capital W, in other words, the words, Christ himself. John 1 talks about the words became flesh and dwelt among us. And so actually what this is saying is we're being told to crave the word of God, scripture. And we're being told to crave scripture because in the written word, we encounter the living words, Jesus. We're not simply studying scripture so that we can know more and become clever and astound others with our biblical knowledge. We're dwelling in scripture so that we can get to know Jesus, the living words. The more we dwell in the word of God, the more we dwell with God. And the more we'll be shaped and transformed by God. And what word does he use to do that? He talks about crave pure spiritual milk. It's not just a, well, if you want. It's craving. I don't know what that makes you think about, but it made me think about a little baby. A little baby crying because they're desperate. There we go. They're desperate for that milk. When I spoke at All Saints on this last week, there was a little baby who cried about 5 minutes too early. I was just hoping it would cry just at this point. But that little baby screaming its head off, desperate to have that nourishing milk. What does that milk do for the baby? Well, it strengthens the baby's bones. It gives it strength for that little body to work and to function. It gives that baby immunity from diseases. But also, you know, what do we see the moment that that bottle is put in the baby's mouth, or that baby has able to suck on the mother's breast? Well, actually, we see a peace, don't we? What a transformation, going from screaming a head off and craving to just that peace. And I think it's just a reminder, and I just felt God was really saying this today, that actually to people here who are desperate for peace. I know lots of people here have had tough weeks this week. But that thing of just God's words brings us comfort, brings us peace. And you say, the illustration that Peter uses is that we are to crave, here's my milk. I nearly forgot it. I really don't like drinking milk. But we're to crave pure spiritual milk. Because actually God's word is what helps us to be strong. What helps us to keep going in all the trials. What helps us to resist temptation. What helps us and protects us from the many sort of diseases of this world, spiritual diseases, if you like, of this world. It helps us keep healthy. It brings us comfort. It brings us peace. It brings us nourishment. Helps us to align with God's priorities and God's values. You see, the danger is that if we don't crave pure spiritual milk, then actually we will become a bit like one of those other bits of seed in that parable of the sower, where if we don't grow strong roots in the word of God, then what will happen is that actually when tough times come, when the sun beats down, when the floods come in, actually we will shrivel or just be washed away. That's what it's like without a deep rootedness in God's word, without holy habits. When the challenges come, when the struggles in life come, maybe even persecution comes, as it was to these Christians here, we don't have that rootedness in scripture, in the truth of the gospel, to feed us, comfort us, sustain us, and hold us firm. Just want to finish by saying there's an interesting piece of research which was done by one of the big churches in America, and actually about 10,000 other churches, several years ago, which was doing some research into what helps people grow. And I might at the next Life Group Central in a couple of weeks actually go through a little bit more detail some of that. But one of the things it really highlighted is that when they did the survey of, I don't know, 100,000 Christians or something, it found that actually one in four said they were stuck or dissatisfied with their faith. They just have a sense of God just perhaps prompting people here. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if you're stuck, actually. If the reality is, if you drew your spiritual growth chart and actually you're stuck or even perhaps going backwards. If that's the reality of where you are at the moment. When they researched into these people and compared it to the people who weren't stuck, then actually what they found, two particular things they found, was one, that actually these people were not prioritizing their spiritual growth. Others, things in life were just dominating and taking precedence, and that, well, spiritual stuff happened if there was time to fit in around everything else. That was the first thing. And the second thing is that when they looked at it, there was a huge difference in those who were actually daily reflecting on scripture and into the habit of developing daily spiritual habits. And the people who were stuck were by far, far, far fewer, far lower percentage of people who are really engaging each day with scripture.
And more than anything, the message was, you know, if we want to grow, if we want to get unstuck, then actually what we need to do more than anything is to spend time in God's words. To actually find that time each day to just take a few verses to reflect on it, to ask, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about my life? What's God wanting to say to me through this? How does God want me to respond in that? Maybe for some of us here, actually, there's just the gentle challenge for today, where perhaps patterns of really spending time with God outside of church have slipped. God saying, come and connect with me again. It's that invitation from God. Say, come and connect with me daily again. So that I can grow you. So that I can nourish you. So that I can help you become all that you, the new creation in Christ, have been made to be. Maybe for some of us also that's actually connecting in life groups. Maybe there are people here who just actually need that. We all need that support of others. It's difficult doing it on our own. If you're not in a life group at the moment, then do talk to Val afterwards. Perhaps at the start of this term, let's come and connect in life groups. There's been great encouragements of a couple of new life groups lately that have been starting and really growing. It's great to see. But where are we? Where are we? Peter says, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Yeah, I'd love us to just have a few minutes of silence on our own. And just to really ask the Lord, what does he want to say to you, to me this morning? To have that really honest conversation with God. Look, God, this is where my spiritual growth chart has been in the last few months, weeks, years. And maybe he's calling you back today. I have a real sense that actually there's some people who are stuck today. Or gone backwards, that God wants to call back. And he wants to call back by two things. One, actually by getting rid of some of the stuff that you need to get rid of. Particularly where it's around priorities, where we've just lost sight of God's goodness and God's priorities. And secondly, just around reconnecting with God's words daily to be nourished on that. So just love us to be still. And just have a conversation with God in your head as to where you are. And listen to God as to what he's saying to you today. And what does it mean to live that out in practice when you go from here this morning? Let's just be still. Just also sense that there are people here who actually, if they're being really honest, that the conversation in your heads is actually, I don't crave. I don't have that desire at the moment. Perhaps there's some guilt over that. But actually, I think what God wants you to say to you more than anything this morning is actually pray. Pray for that desire to crave God. To crave God's words, to reconnect with him. Even if that's not there now, just pray that God would give you that desire, would give you that craving for him to connect with you and grow you again. So Father God, I pray that you would continue to talk to each of us. about where we are. That you'd continue to gently invite us in your precious, gentle way to come deeper, to draw deeper, to reconnect. May we spur one another on to crave pure spiritual milk. And as we do, to grow up into all that you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd love to just, I'd love to just invite anyone at the end just to come and receive prayer if that actually is connecting with you today. Don't go away from here on your own, but come and receive prayer and allow someone to pray with you.